The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
What's up, Apex listeners? This is the Queen of Mean, Persephone Vice, your future MPW Heavyweight Champion. Keep tuning in to Apex. Bam!
Welcome once again to another audacious edition of the Apex Radio Show.
The most electrifying
podcast
in sports entertainment today.
Good to be back with you once again. Our guest on today's show is none other than the Queen of Mean herself, Miss Persephone Vice. Definitely a force to be reckoned with in the Ontario indie scene. We had a great interview. We had a great chat. She's definitely an interesting character. And whether you're a fan of women's wrestling or a fan of indie wrestling in general, give a listen because I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. Gentle beings, I give to you the Queen of Mean, Miss Persephone Vice.
My soul, I pissed it all away. Do you think these shattered nerves
right. I have had the pleasure of being joined by the lovely and talented Queen of Mean, Persephone Vice. Miss Vice, thank you for taking the time to join us.
It's no problem, my friend.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm so glad you're not mad at me anymore after that little debacle at the last big time show.
How could I be mad at you? Jeez.
Well, I understand. It was a big match. It was a tough night. You know, I what can I say?
Tough night. Jeez. Could even break a sweat.
Oh. Okay. Portia, that's the opinions expressed in the program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of the host. Now that we got that out of the way, I just don't want the super kick. That's all I'm saying. Why don't we start from the beginning? When did you first get interested in wrestling?
How old was I? Well, when I was growing up, so well before my teens, I was watching WCW just because we had bunny ears, and WWE was never available in my household. So I would watch that with my mom and my brother. And then as I grew up, my interest faded into other things. And then a good friend of mine got me back into it back in the Attitude Era.
Right.
And I just fell in love with it at that point, and I would watch it religiously. So Raw, SmackDown, Sunday Night Heat, and all everything in between. And that was pretty much it at that point. So that was like must have been early 2000s I got back into it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's about when I got back into it too. Now, of course, the question that I ask a lot of people, but I think it's a pretty valid question. You obviously took that step from being a fan saying, gee, you know, one day I'd like to become a professional wrestler, to actually becoming a professional wrestler. How did that whole transition come about?
I started going to independent wrestling shows, and I was like, wow, these are fans just like me. And I'm obviously not knowing any of the business psychology at this point. I was like, oh, these guys can do it, so can I. And I was talking to a good friend of mine. He goes by the name of Kyle Davenport.
Right.
His real name is Justin. And I said, you know, how can I get into this? I really want to try this out. And, you know, test the water, so to speak. You know, he pulled a few strings, and I got my my first managing gig back in 2006. Actually, the exact date is July 22nd, 2006. And after that, my training took off. While I was training in the ring, I was still doing the managing, valeting kind of aspect of it all.
Yeah.
And I owe him my entire career.
Wow.
Yeah, because if he didn't plant the seed, I would not have had the opportunities to start managing while training. Because normally that's somewhat frowned upon. They want you to be trained before you do the managing and valeting kind of thing. Obviously, for safety reasons, if you have to take a bump, etc., you know what you're doing. But I had a lot of support from other people that I was working with and training with as well, and other promoters who supported me as well. So without their support, I wouldn't have been able to do what I was doing that early on.
Do you remember your first match?
Yes, I do, actually. I was in school at the time, and I was driving towards Hamilton for the LLWA student show. And I was just going to go and do, like, I had training the next day, because it was on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And so I was on my way to the show, and I get a call. And it was from my opponent. So do you want to wrestle me tonight? What? And apparently her scheduled opponent was no longer able to attend the show, and she just really wanted to wrestle. And I was like, I was kind of stuttering. I'm like, I'm in the middle of driving. My head is now spinning.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, sure. And I was really hoping my trainer, Reggie Marley, who usually is at the student shows anyway, because he was one of the trainers at the academy. So he was usually present. And of course, my luck, he's not there that night. And so I really wanted his blessing, like, am I ready for this? Can I do this? So obviously he wasn't there. So I just threw myself in the match and I said, okay, let's do this. The match made no sense. I was all over the place.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. There's ring positioning for a reason. But let's face it, we all have to start somewhere. But it's crazy. Once I got the taste of the ring, and if you remember my earlier answer to one of your questions, I wanted more than just being a manager.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the taste I was looking for. This is what I wanted. I wanted to scream at people. I was choking some bitch on the ropes. Like that's what I craved. Is that weird? I'm sorry if that's weird. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. And it became something so much more than that. And the match was taped. Reggie did see it. Obviously, he critiqued the shit out of me for it. And I was okay with that. But I then became a regular for the student shows because they knew I was now capable of doing stuff in the ring. My matches obviously progressed.
Right.
I was getting better. And obviously that's good because that's what you train for. For the most part, my early matches were very, very simple. I didn't do any of the stuff that I did now. I mean, at one point, my finisher was a big boot to the face because I wasn't comfortable with doing things like I'm doing now, as you've seen. So the transition from beginner to where I am now has been pretty extreme, I guess. Extreme? Is this even okay to use? Extreme? Extravagant?
Extreme is good. Extravagant?
Okay.
Extraordinary?
I'm not really trying to make myself, like, with a big head, but I do have a big... Yeah, never mind.
That's okay. I do it all the time. It's cool. I like to use big words on the show. It's no problem.
All right.
Well, that's great. Now, the other question, I guess, is in that first match, did you have fun?
I did. I was shaking like a leaf because I wasn't sure if I was ready for it. Because literally, I didn't expect it coming. I was going there to do the managing gig and then, watch the rest of the show, do what I had to do, and get ready for training. Like, training would have been the next morning with Rezzy. So it really caught me off guard, but like anything in wrestling, you have to be prepared for the unexpected, and that was it. I just did it.
Oh, for sure. Wow. Oh, that's great. That's the whole key, right? Just grab a hold of it while it's there. You can't afford to let it.
Exactly.
They always talk about that brass ring. Well, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, switching gears a little bit, I'm going to ask a question I've asked other guests that have been on the show. As a woman in a field of mostly guys, do you find that, and I mean, you've wrestled all over the place. You've wrestled all across Ontario. You've wrestled in the States. You've wrestled in it. You've had the opportunity to be in a whole bunch of different locker rooms. Do you find that you get treated any differently because you're a woman?
At the beginning, when I was doing the whole manager valet part of my wrestling career, if you want to call it a career.
Sure.
No, I'm just playing. I felt that I was kind of separate from everybody else just because, well, she's training, she's just a manager. And that was fine, and I was fine with that. I'm like, you know what, I am not in the same realm as they are right now. Like, it's true. There was truth behind it. I was, like, at that point, I was still training. I am just a manager valet on these shows. But once I dropped the whole manager valet role and I was a full-time wrestler, that's when things kind of changed. And I actually felt the switch into, no, she's one of us now. She's a wrestler. She's a lady wrestler, a woman's wrestler. But even when I'm when I train at Body Slammers here in Ottawa, I expect the guys that I train with to treat me like anybody else. If you're going to hit me, you're going to hit me.
Sure.
I'm not gonna cry about it. This isn't ballet. Okay, and I used to do ballet, okay? Huh? So I know the difference between being in a body sweat. That's right. I would know the difference. So now I'm one of the guys. I'm one of the boys, and I truly appreciate that from them.
Well, that's very cool. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad to see that hopefully things have changed and will continue to change. Now, I'm going to turn it around a little bit on you. You are one of the bigger girls. You're, you know, pretty powerfully built and all that kind of stuff. Do you find that a lot of the women wrestlers look at you or treat you differently because of that?
That's a really, like, good thought-provoking question.
I try.
You know, I have to be honest. You know, like any kind of situation, whether it involves your extracurricular activities or whether it involves your real life, you're not going to have friends in everything that you do. So you hear things that come from one party, and they, when they get relayed back to you, it's something completely different. So I have heard stories about, you know, other people talking about me, good or bad, doesn't matter. Things are often said. I'm doing my best. I mean, I'm human. I do my best to take it with a grain of salt and realize, you know, who A, it's coming from, or B, who it initially came from. As I said before, no one's going to like you in everything that you do. You're always going to have competition. You're always going to have someone who... It's all political, right?
Sure.
So, I take it with a grain of salt. Well, I do my best to. I try not to take it personally, because there's you can't control it. It's like that telephone game. It starts as one thing, and by the end of the line, it's completely different.
Yeah.
So you can't. I shouldn't be taking it personally when it does around to me. I just kind of shrug my shoulders, roll my eyes, and go with it.
That's a commendable attitude and not an easy one to take for a lot of people. To that end, do you think that some of the ones that are bad-mouthing you, and we know they are, just not to your face because they're not crazy, mm-hmm. Do you think they might be, I know, like spots, you know, I hate to say it, but I have heard a lot of people mention that, you know, women's wrestling is not quite as populous as men's wrestling, so the spots for women are more at a premium. There are fewer of them available. Do you think that some of these other lady wrestlers might be attempting to, you know, sort of psych you out and kind of steal your spot if possible?
You know, that's a pretty good question. If they want to quote-unquote steal any spot for me, let them go for it. I mean, with my real life and my real job, I don't have the time to be taking off work to go wrestle in other cities. I don't have that kind of time. I don't even have the luxury to do that because
right.
There have been offers. I get emails through my Persephone Vice page and my Facebook page or even my emails. You know, can you work this show? We would love to have you there. This is a date that I'd love to offer you. And it's just like, that's in 2 weeks. I can't do that. Just because with my real job, it's not like I can just call in sick. You know, I don't have a backup plan.
Sure.
So if I try to believe and I, you know, instill that, you know, as women wrestlers, we should try to be stick together. And, you know, if one of these other ladies have an opportunity to be on a big show, go right for it. All the power to them. And I support them in that because if they have the ability to do it, they trained hard, they put their time in, they're paying their dues. So why not? Like, if you can do it, go right the hell ahead and do it.
And I'm going to play devil's advocate here, but, you don't worry too much about the feds that you wrestle in the most, like Big Time or Mecca or anything like that, about your spot being given away to someone else?
No, I'm not. I'm loyal to those companies, and They're loyal to me, so I'm not worried about it at all.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. I'm going to switch gears again a little bit because I do that a lot. I blow so many transmissions, it's not even funny. In big-time pro wrestling, you are, of course, the first big-time pro wrestling women's champion. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
And ever since at least I've been watching you in big time, and it's been quite a while, you have been under the tutelage of a certain Mr. Know-It-All.
Yes.
A manager of managers, if you will. He's got quite a bunch of talent under his auspices.
Yes.
If I can ask...
He's a special cat, eh?
That's a good way to put it, yeah. He's very special. I love the jacket. I really do. How did you come to be under his tutelage?
Well, I'm going to take you back a couple years when I first, or maybe you don't know, I was doing the refereeing for a bit to get my feet wet into big-time pro wrestling. And then I had the opportunity to wrestle Jules Malone at one of our shows. And it was at that show where we had that panel to see if, you know, is women's wrestling really going to be a thing in big time pro? And there was a guest judge, Mr. Hollywood, and Mr. Know-It-All on that panel. You know, and this entire time, Mr. Know-It-All is jaw-jacking that, oh, there's no place for women's wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so, you know, we had to get like a perfect 10 from each judge to say that, you know what, we're going to have big-time pro wrestling women's matches from here on out. So when it came down to Mr. Know-It-All, you know, we had, I guess there was some trickery going on. And he gave a perfect 10, just like the other two judges. Do you remember this? Huh. Do you remember this event, or were you not there at this
time? I do remember
okay.
it. I remember it.
And then you see how I took it to Jules Malone after, did you?
I gotta
give credit where credit is due. This is all the evil scheme of Mr. Know-It-All. I was just...
Jules, if, you,
I was
if you're listening...
With it.
I saved the tooth, if you're listening, so.
So,
self-addressed F envelope.
Mr. Know-It-All saw something in me the night that I faced JJB, because JJB, right. It was under Mr. Know-It-All guidance, if you will, at one point. So Mr. Know-It-All definitely opened the door for me, and I guess I've seen the light in some respects, but sometimes, oh my goodness, that man drives me up a wall.
It's interesting that you mention that, because actually that leads me to another question that I wanted to ask you. The last time I saw you at Big Time Pro Wrestling, you kind of were a little, stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. Kind of had an issue with me taking pictures and that kind of thing, and had no problem letting me know that you had an issue with that. And, you know, your buddy Mr. Know-It-All seconded that emotion. I notice, though, you know, when I see you and Mr. Know-It-All's not around, you seem a different person. And by different, I mean, well, less stressed, a little happier.
Mm-hmm.
If you might say, is there something about Mr. Know-It-All that, you know, changes you in that way? I mean, when, you know,
he knows how to do his job very well as a manager, and I appreciate his talents and his guidance and his input. But
I agree with that.
We have this love-hate relationship thing going on, because sometimes he just rocks the very essence of my being. The way he's like, yeah, yeah, and then you're gonna do this, and then you're gonna do that. Shut up. I know what I'm doing. Like, really, I know what I'm doing. When I step into that ring, I know what I'm doing. I am in charge of that ring. And when he's there, and he's just yakking in my ear, and he's yakking to the fans, I I go a little nuts. It's like my rage is refocused to him instead of where it needs to be. So there are some days where I wish I just had some duct tape.
I mean, I was going to say, I don't know how you have managed not to pound him into the mat like a tent stake already, but, I mean, he is half the size of a normal human being, so, I mean...
Yes, that's right.
It wouldn't be too difficult. But, mm-hmm. I mean, for instance, when the night you won the title, mm-hmm. he wasn't there.
No, he was not.
I mean, I have to... pin this on him. I mean, a big night like that for one of your clients, and it was a big night, very important night for you, you would think that he'd want to be there in your corner, giving you the support, giving you the... But he wasn't there.
Yeah.
For
whatever reason why he wasn't there that evening, that was a pretty big match, a very important match for me. I necessarily wouldn't have wanted him in my corner, but I would have loved to have him there for him to have been the one to raise my hand because, you know, it's something that I've been working on for a really long time. And, you know, whether he's been there with me, you know, through the ring or behind the scene, it would have been cool to have him there. I think he would have been pretty proud of me.
Well, there you go. What can I say to that? And, of course, the last event that you were at where you wrestled Portia Perez for the title, there was a particular time, actually a couple of times, where he inserted himself mm-hmm. into the proceedings, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And the last time he did that, he ended up knocked out on the floor unconscious.
Yeah, I did that, didn't I?
Yeah, oops. Yeah, you did. and I noticed afterwards, you really weren't too eager to get out there and make sure he was all right and, you know, help him to the back.
Well, I had just wrestled and I just, you know, defeated Portia Perez and I was really tired. I didn't feel it was necessary for me to help him. I mean, really, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. So why should I have to pick up his sorry carcass, right?
Fair enough. Fair enough. Who am I to argue? I'm just the guy in the front row.
With the stick in the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Mm. Well, there you go. And that brings us to Mecha Pro. A little background there for the people that don't know that I just want to touch on before we get to this Saturday. You used to be part of a group of friends there, along with Joey Valentine and Randy Barry, yes. called VIP.
That's right.
And now you're not.
you realize that VIP also means very important Persephone, right?
I do.
Ho-ho.
I do.
Just so everyone else knows now, right?
I do indeed. Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. Now you've made it public so that everyone knows, as if they didn't before.
That's right.
But now it's just confirmed. So what happened? I mean, I know we talked about it when I interviewed you at the show, but for those folks who are that I don't like, who don't bother listening to my old shows and, you know, decided to listen to this one, what happened between you guys? I mean, I know you're still friends with Joey, but you and Randy are kind of on the outs, and Joey and Randy are kind of on the outs, and what's the deal?
Well, you see, like, Randy has a hot head. Yes, violation in progress. We were a team, a strong tandem. But yet, you know, Randy was the one, you know, to always huff and puff. I always felt that he was always getting the bigger shots than either myself or Joey were. And every time we had to stick up for ourselves or say, I won a match and neither of them did, it was always like, well, don't rub it in. But if something good happened for Randy, like he got a shot or whatever like that, you know, he had to gloat about it and rub it in our faces. And I just got tired of it. You know, and then he started, once Joey left the group or he got kicked out or whatever the whole mess was, you know, it became my fault when Randy wouldn't win a match. What did I have anything to do about it? I tried. I was there the night when I was his special guest referee. I did the best that I could to help him, and he still thought that I screwed him over. Screw him. I don't need him in my life. Whatever. So I life bombed him.
Twice.
That's right.
I remember they had to dig him out of the canvas with a shovel afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That's what he gets for pissing me off.
And now, of course, Randy has gotten himself so far down the ladder that he's going to have a flashlight to see the top of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And you, mm-hmm. at the last Mecha Pro Wrestling event, won a huge battle
yeah.
royal. And you are now the number one contender, I think the first in Mecha Pro history, the first woman
mm-hmm.
to be number one contender for the heavyweight championship. Not the ladies' championship, because they don't have one at Mecha. The big one,
that's
the
great.
Mecha Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. First of all, again, I want to congratulate you on that, because that was one hell of a battle royal.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I'm going to call it a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Not knocking you at all, but there was a lot of big, powerful talent in that ring, and it really could have been anybody's game, but you pulled it out.
That's right.
And I want to go back to just those last few minutes where it was you and Firestorm and Decker LeDuc and Joey Valentine. And Joey and Decker were kind of going at it. I know you kind of got knocked a little loopy there at one point. And who should make his presence known, speaking of who we were speaking of before, Mr. Randy Barry. And he came out to try and mess with you. And, Joey helped out. And he kind of got tossed out because he wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, I feel really guilty that Joey came to save my ass and I wasn't able to be there for him. But let's face it, the Royal Rumble is every man, woman, child, whomever, for themselves. And Joey didn't have to help me, but he did. And I owe him huge for that. And I hope one day that I'll be able to repay him or to watch him get his spot for a number one contendership title match. Sorry.
Absolutely. And of course, at the end of that match, Firestorm shocked everyone, I think, including you, by
yeah.
look on your face, by eliminating himself.
That has me kind of concerned. I mean, that was the first time I've ever met Firestorm. And now I'm starting to think, oh my gosh, well, he eliminated himself. So for my match this Saturday, I was like, is he going to come back? Is he going to try to interfere? I mean, what's going to happen? Is he going to try to lessen my odds? Joey's also going to be there. I know he's in a match, but he could still somehow get himself involved to try to, again, screw me over. I mean, so I'm not saying that I am a nervous wreck, but there's a lot of situations that keep replaying over and over in my brain, and I'm kind of concerned. I mean, my focus needs to be on pain. It cannot handle being focused on pain, Joey Valentine, or Firestorm, or anybody else who thinks that they could come and try to get this shot from me. Think about it.
That's true. I mean, pain is not one to be. I mean, he's enough of a challenge in and of himself.
Oh, for sure.
He's not known for his daintiness, anyway.
That's right. I don't think that's even in his vocabulary.
I'm not going to say that because he's big and nasty too, but he's been on the show, so he knows where to find me. So of course, as I said, you're going to have to take on pain. Now shifting your focus to pain. I don't believe he's ever again. I know it sounds a little sexist, but it has to be asked. I don't think he's ever wrestled a woman before.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a two-part question. Part one, do you think, with your being a woman, that he is in any way inclined to go a little bit easier on you? And two, if he does, would you want him to go any easier on you because you're a woman?
I think that's a pretty good question. It's also pretty self-explanatory. I don't expect any less of pain. I've been witness, and so have you, and so have many others been witness to what this guy can do to anybody in the ring. So if he, like,
it's not in his nature to take it light on anybody. So why would he do that with me just because I'm a girl? So I know when I hit that ring that it is going to be one hell of a fight between myself and Payne. And he's going to unleash on me, and I am going to unleash on him. And that's it.
Wow. Well, all I can say is it sounds like it's going to be, to quote one of the greats, a real slobber knocker.
Mm-hmm. It will be, for sure. As long as I don't lose a tooth, I'm okay.
Wow. Do you have a plan in case you do? A dental plan of any kind, in case? I know he doesn't. He's American, so I'm pretty sure he's not covered in that way. But
maybe I do and maybe I don't.
Yankees. They're so cute. Well, I guess as far as the Mecca chapter, we're just going to have to see how it all unfolds on Saturday. For those of you listening, I'm going to post the event on my Facebook page so you can get your tickets, and you better. Otherwise, Miss Vice will find you.
That's right.
I'll see to it. So before I let you go, I have two questions that I always ask our Apex guests. One is a time-honored question. Since long before I even hosted this show, that still gets asked to this day. That's one of the promises I had to make when I took it over. And the other one is a relatively recent question that one of our guests asked that I ask every guest. And I find it interesting, so I do. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, it's a sad day for wrestling. Assuming tomorrow is the day that Persephone Vice can't wrestle anymore. Her career is over. You're hanging up your boots. You're going to write your memoirs, as so many of the greats do. What do you call the book?
I think it would. I would call it Lipstick, Stilettos, and Wrestling Boots.
Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. You came up with that very quick. Look at that. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's almost like you had that plan.
I'm copywriting that. You hear that, folks? That's copyrighted. You heard it here first. It's mine. You can't take it.
I'll put a little TM at the bottom of the episode when I post it. Just for legality's sake. And the second question, and it's a very deep philosophical question, so, you know, don't be too intimidated.
Okay.
But, you know, what's your favorite Muppet?
Chef.
The Swedish Chef.
Yeah. Do you even understand what he says half the time? No, that's kind of like what happened in my brain.
Bork, bork, bork.
Exactly. Oh, you know who else? There's a top two. Oh, or maybe, those two old guys.
Well, Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, my God, there's like the grumpier old men. Seriously, hilarious.
You know, it's always nice. See, I say it's deep and philosophical because you get these guys that just rattle off Kermit off the top because that's the only Muppet they can think of.
Because
no rhyme, no reason. That's right. And, you know, if you're not into the Muppets, you don't know anything about the Muppets, right, Muppet Man? He's going to be listening. I'm sure he'll agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
Chef, all right. That's definitely – I like that. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miss Vice.
Yeah.
It's been a slice.
Woo-hoo, you got me there.
I got to get them in where I can. They don't come very often, so.
No.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure, and I look forward to, as will hopefully most of the people listening, to seeing you vie for that title on Saturday night.
Thank you very much for having me on Apex Radio, and Apex Radio or podcast? I don't know which one it is.
Either works.
Apex Radio. I like that.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
No, I would never do that.
All right. Well, listen, we hope to have you on again sometime very soon.
Oh, for sure.
Possibly as the new Mecha Pro Wrestling champ. That would be cool.
Hey, why not? That'd be pretty rad.
Excellent. Thank you, Persephone. You have yourself a good evening.
You too, sir. Have a good night.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much, Persephone, for the pleasure of your company. I hope you folks out there enjoyed listening to that interview as much as I did conducting it. And now we have a few quick words from some good friends of the show. A message from Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Looking to learn the art form of professional wrestling, if you want a place to go where everybody knows what they're doing, Body Slammers in Ottawa, Canada is the place to be. You can learn how to wrestle, you can learn how to bump, you can learn how to do anything you want in this profession. You want to be the best, Body Slammers is the place to go. Ottawa, Canada, that is your information center. Body Slammer, go there if you want to learn.
For more information on Body Slammers Pro Wrestling Gym, check out www.bodyslammerscanada.ca online or check out their group on Facebook.
Hey guys, this is Overweight Larry, and I'm just curious, do you like professional wrestling? Well, I do, and when I want to hear about the good, the bad, and the ups and the downs, I tune into my friends at the Shining Wizards Podcast. They know everything about everything. And if they don't, well, they just make it up. It's actually kind of funny. Sometimes when I like to listen, I put my headphones on, I close my eyes, and the sweet sound of their full voices just puts me in a happy place. Shining Wizards is on the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com. Please tune in, because even when wrestling's bad, these guys are still pretty damn good. Tune in for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Let's face the facts. You're just like us. You're the type of person that enjoys heavy metal music, professional wrestling, a cognac every once in a while. That means you get blackout drunk. So we did you a favor by creating a show called Neckbreaker Podcast, which celebrates and discusses the greater things in life, the finer things in life.
Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts and guests slam drinks. We've already interviewed Eric Bischoff, Fit for an Autopsy, Power Glove, pro wrestler Brian Fury, and many more. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and on the Shining Wizards Network. Or if you're really lazy, just follow our drunk updates on Facebook and Twitter at NB Podcast. Cheers! And beers.
And ooh.
This is the impact player, Mr. Phil Rea from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, and you're listening to Apex Radio on the Shining Wizards Network.
Transport yourself back to the 80s and 90s with Mike and Adam on The Midnight Jury. They take you on a journey to the last old school generation to discuss pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture, all from South Street in Philadelphia. Past guests include the original on-screen Chucky and Gail, Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and more. Broadcasting at 5-4 Central on Geek Life Radio. Available on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher Radio, and for the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com. Take that trip back to the 80s and 90s with Mike and Adam on The Midnight Jury, a WLW Studios production.
Hello, all you Funkophiles and Funkophilettes. This is the one and only Guru, the Grappling Guru, the Wolfman Jack Foley himself, asking you to tune in to the Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular to hear Wolfie and his freaky friends delivering the finest and funniest in funkery to the Mac-loving masses. There's our old buddy, Shoyman.
Don't fear him. Sorry.
Miss Mabel Murphy.
Naughty.
Mr. Nick and Nails.
Now I'm going to split your lips to the side of your face.
And our newest funky friend, Overweight Larry. So listen in and always keep those funk levels at a maximum. Thursdays at 8 Central, 9 Eastern on GeekLifeRadio.com and anytime at www.ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. The Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular. It's always funky fresh.
Hey everyone, JJ Piedra here, and I'm inviting you to check out Pulse In Radio. If you're into video games, technology, anime, or anything geek culture, Pulse In Radio has you covered. You can visit us at PulseInRadio.com, follow us on Twitter at PulseIn, or like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/PulseInRadio. Be sure to check us out, and Godspeed.
I'm Babs, Chikara's intrepid reporter. Join me each week for a new episode of Chikara in 15 Minutes or Less, the only news radio broadcast devoted to keeping you informed and up to date on all things Chikara and wrestling is. Check out the podcast on iTunes and at ci.podomatic.com.
Now listen up, because I'm going to bring you some great local indie info. Saturday, April 26, 2014, as we talked about in an interview with Ms. V there, Mecha Pro Wrestling presents Infiltration at the Agora Center, 301 McConnell Avenue in Cornwall. Doors open at 6:15, the bell times 7. Ticket prices are $12 in advance, $40 for a family of 4, or $15 at the door. For all the places and numbers where you can get your tickets in advance, check out the event, which I'm going to be posting on my Apex Facebook page. The official card so far: Brett McLeod versus the Lone Rocker, Marty Michaels. That's going to be interesting. If you haven't seen Marty Michaels' promo that in which he talks about facing Brett McLeod this weekend, I'll be sure and post a link to that on my Facebook page as well. I don't really know how that's going to turn out, but it's bound to be interesting. The debuting wrestler, Barricade, is going to be taking on Bradford Montague of the Fraternity in singles action. I don't know much about Barricade, but I do know about Bradford Montague. I that's really all I can say about this one, folks. You want to find out what it's all about? Get your tickets and grab a seat. Tag team action. Total Devastation is going to be taking on Crimson X and El Fantastico. So the Felonious One and Catalyst are going to be going up against Mecha Pro Wrestling's Masked Elite in Crimson X and El Fantastico. Well, two of the Masked Elite. Payne, of course, being the heavyweight champion. But I don't know. I don't know. It should. It'll be different, for sure. A triple threat match. Shooter Storm, former guest of ours, versus Ray Steele, versus Magic Mary O'Brien. Definitely some conflicting styles between the three of them. Shooter Storm, the world's largest sports entertainer, he's going to bring that power game to the match. Ray Steele is no slouch in the power department himself. And you have Magic Mary O'Brien, who, he's got the total package. So, I mean, anybody's game for the triple threat. Now, this is definitely going to be one for the ages. I hope they reinforce the ring for this one. Decker the Axeman LeDuc, a very big specimen of lumberjack, is going to be taking on former MPW heavyweight champion, the American Barbarian. A wild man, a tough guy, and I'm sure, having stepped in the ring with him myself, and because I'm sane, I never will, but he's one hell of a tough guy, and one hell of a tough opponent. The Tag Team Championship, it's up for grabs, but something a little different. The Incredible Hunks, the MPW champions, have issued an open challenge to any tag team, any two wrestlers, anybody who wants to step in the ring and try and get their hands on the Hunks titles. Who's going to step up to this challenge? Don't know. We're just going to have to wait till the 26th and see. The Pound for Pound Championship is up for grabs, and once again, Derek Hamilton, the champion, as putting his title on the line against KL Shock, who, if you've listened to previous episodes of the show, and you know what's been going on in Mecha Pro Wrestling, he's had a shot at the title a couple of times, and has lost through dubious means. Derek Hamilton claims he's not deserving of another shot, but obviously MPW management feels differently, as I've given him one more kick at the can, as they say. Well, fair is fair. That's all I can say. I've witnessed both previous incidents, and I think he does deserve a fair shot. He's entitled, if, you know, third time's a charm, as they say, maybe. Who knows? Straight up street fight. We got a grudge to settle here. Former VIP members, and almost like blood brothers, you might say, the Rage Randy Barry is going to be taking on Joey Valentine. This one is not going to be pretty, folks. There's not going to be any technical chain wrestling. There's not going to be any fancy stuff. It's going to be a straight up fight. No rules, no nothing. Certainly no niceties. I don't know. That's one I don't know if I want to be sitting front row for. But hey, it's going to be wild, no doubt there. And last but not least, the Mecha Pro Wrestling World Championship is up for grabs. The Queen of Mean, Persephone Vice, our guest on this show, takes on the champion, Payne, for his title. Payne, to his credit, has said that he is not going to be cutting Persephone Vice any slack, and has said, quote-unquote, that welcome to the House of Payne. He claims he's looking forward to putting her in his package pile driver and adding her to the long list of victims. Persephone Vice, on the other hand, as she mentioned before, says she's up for the challenge and hopes Payne is going to bring his A-game. I'm telling you, folks, I wouldn't want to miss this one if I were you, and I'm not going to. I'm going to be there, and you should, too. Once again, that's this Saturday, April 26, 2014, at the Agora Center, 301 McConnell Avenue in Cornwall. The doors open up at 6:15. Good time to get there. Grab your seat early. And the bell time's at 7 p.m. And don't forget, folks, this is a TV taping as well. TV Kojiko is going to be there taping it, so bring your signs, scream real loud, jump up and down, anything you have to do, and they just might see your mug on television. Who knows? Again, for a link to the event and how to get tickets, I'll be putting this event up on my Facebook page so that you can all check it out and, sure enough, buy up those tickets. And so, folks, that does it for another episode of the Apex Radio Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I want to give special thanks to my amazing guest today, the Queen of Mean, Persephone Vice. So remember, keep listening to Apex Radio, because Apex
helps build strong bodies 8 ways.
So until next time, everyone, I'm out of here.
Arrivederci.